بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We continue reading our aqaid and beliefs concerning the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Belief number 12. The actual proof of a Nabi is his being, qualities and teachings. Intelligent people will easily believe after seeing this. For the general masses who are affected by outward signs, Allah Ta'ala manifested on the hands of the Anbiya alayhimu salam such astounding feats which were beyond the power and ability of man. These feats are referred to as mu'jiza. To save people from making an error, Allah Ta'ala will not allow any false claimant to nabuwah to be able to perform extraordinary actions. Yes, if a person lays claim to divinity, he will be allowed to perform supernatural actions as his claim is obviously absurd. These miracles were not within the control of the Anbiya alayhimu salam. When Allah Ta'ala wished, He would enact it on their hands. One must believe in those miracles established in the Quran as they are, and not make fanciful interpretations. For example, the fire of Ibrahim alayhi salam turning into a garden, the miracle of bringing to life the dead by Isa alayhi salam, etc. Now we are going to read some beliefs regarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself. Belief number 1, Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the noblest and highest in rank from amongst the entire creation of Allah Ta'ala. He was granted the knowledge of the people of the past and future. He is the most knowledgeable of Allah's creations. Belief number 2, Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the final Nabi and Rasul. After him, no new messenger will appear. If a person lays claim to be a Nabi, one should never dare ask him for proof. If one does so, he will lose his iman, as this is a clear indication that he has some doubt in the matter. Belief number 3. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger to all men and jinn till the day of Qiyamah. His message is general and for the entire universe. After his coming, all other divinely revealed religions and missions of the past Anbiya alayhimu salam are abrogated and cancelled. It is obligatory to act in accordance with the Sharia, the code of law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Salvation in the hereafter is based on accepting the Risalat, messengership of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Belief number 4. Allah Ta'ala took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a bodily state whilst awake from Makkatul Mukarrama to Baytul Muqaddas, from there to the seven heavens, and from the seven heavens to wherever else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desired. Thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken back to Makkatul Mukarrama. This journey is called the Mi'raj. Some aqaid concerning Hayatul Anbiya, that is our aqeedah that the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam are alive in their graves. The first belief, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well as the other Anbiya alayhimu salam are alive in their graves. Their life is in the barzakh, is bodily and hissi, which is experienced. Their physical blessed bodies have been protected from decomposition. This belief is known as Hayatul Anbiya. Whenever someone stands at their graves and sends salams to them, they hear and reply. In their graves, they are engaged in different forms of worship and tasks. These acts of worship are for enjoyment and not as a duty. And the second belief in this regard, it is the view of the Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah that the portion of land touching the blessed body of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more virtuous than every other place, including the Kaaba, the Arsh and the Kursi. To visit the grave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not only mustahab, but amongst the greatest forms of worship and a means of attaining great reward. When intending to journey to Madinatul Munawwara, one should intend visiting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as there is more respect for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this. In Madinatul Munawwarah, when one is visiting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he should face the blessed grave and greet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the words of salah. He may also make dua to Allah ta'ala through the wasilah, intermediary of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to intercede for him. This is mustahab, it is preferred. Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the ninth para was recited, where the Suratul A'raf was concluded for three quarter of the para, and in the last quarter, a portion of Suratul Anfal was recited. As mentioned yesterday, in Suratul A'raf, it is a Makki surat where the fundamentals of deen are expounded, and together with that, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of many of the incidents of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam of the past concerning their nations also. So the ninth para commences with the continuation of the incident of the nation of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, that this nation, besides being involved in disbelief, not accepting the truth, they were also involved in the great evil of cheating in measure and weight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the evils and their refusal to accept the truth, which invited the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over them, and they were then seized with a terrible scream from the skies and an earthquake from beneath them, was the result that they were all destroyed. After mentioning this incident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that we sent to all the nations the different Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. When they refused to accept the message of Haqq, Allah ta'ala says, أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّى, that we afflicted them with conditions of hardship and adversity, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتْضَرَّعُونَ, so that they may turn humble. And in this way, perhaps then they will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in obedience. But when they remain adamant on their wrong ways and refusal to accept the message of Haqq, Allah ta'ala then says, ثُمَّ بَدَّلْنَا مَكَانَ السَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةَ, then we change their bad conditions with good conditions. حَتَّى عَفَوْا, till they prospered. And in other words, Allah ta'ala gave them now good conditions of prosperity, good health, abundant wealth and offspring, so that perhaps they may turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in gratitude. But rather than now understanding this, they still remain bent on their evil ways, and they attributed this change of conditions to natural phenomena, and they said, قَدْ مَسَّ آبَاءَنَا الضَّرَّاءُ وَالصَّرَّاءُ, that these types of conditions, sometimes good conditions, sometimes bad conditions, even came to our forefathers. In other words, it has nothing to do with our beliefs or our actions, but these things just happen in a natural way, sometimes good and sometimes bad conditions. So after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً, then we seize them suddenly in a condition that they did not even perceive. From this we understand also that sometimes conditions of adversity, hardships and difficulties are actually a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in disguise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes he uses this means to make a person realize that his limitations, and then he may turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet people sometimes don't understand, and they also, today also we regard these things just as now it happens. There's nothing strange in this. Whereas it is actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding us that now it's enough now. Now it's time to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, from the third ruku onwards, till after about the half of this ninth para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great detail makes mention of the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam and his nation. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam was sent as a Nabi to Fir'aun, and Fir'aun and his people had enslaved the Bani Israel, the nation of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. They Their actual homeland was Sham, the area which today covers Palestine, Jordan, Syria, all those, and this was the land of the Bani Israel. But in the time of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, because of circumstances which are mentioned in Surah Yusuf, they came to Egypt and then they stayed there and then their progeny increased and eventually they became the biggest, the second biggest population after Fir'aun and his people, the Copts. After that they were the second biggest population. But Fir'aun and his people, they had meted out great tyranny and oppression and upon the Bani Israel, and they had enslaved them also. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to Fir'aun to give the message of Haqq and also to deliver the Bani Israel from this great tyranny and oppression of Fir'aun and take them back to their homeland. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this incident that we sent Musa alayhi salatu wasalam with our clear signs, particularly referring to the staff of Musa alayhi salam, that stick which used to turn into a serpent with the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this miracle, and also the shining hand where Musa alayhi salam used to take out his hand from under his armpit and it used to shine. So these were the great miracles which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent Musa alayhi salam with to Fir'aun. But Fir'aun, in his obstinacy and pride, who had claimed divinity and ordered his people to regard him as God, but so when Musa alayhi salam was sent to him, he said that if you have brought clear signs, if there is any sign to prove your claim, then bring it, if you are truthful. And on that Musa alayhi salam threw his staff down and it turned into a big serpent, and then Musa alayhi salam took out his hand and it was shining. These were signs to prove the truthfulness of the nabuwat of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But Fir'aun and his courtiers, they regarded this to be a type of magic and sorcery. And eventually the incident is mentioned here that they decided now to gather all the expert magicians from throughout the country and put Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to a challenge, thinking that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam will be defeated and humiliated in front of the whole nation. Thousands gather to see the spectacle, but the magicians also then realize that what we are confronted with is not magic, but instead it is the miracle of Allah, of the Nabi, shown to the Nabi by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that, they accept Iman. And despite the great threats of Fir'aun upon them, but the roots of Islam became so firmly embedded in their hearts that all these threats had no effect on the steadfastness and determination of these magicians, and they were not worried of all the threats which Fir'aun had given them, and they remained steadfast on their Iman. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues mentioning the incident of Musa alayhi salam, that the people of Fir'aun and his people, despite all this, they still remain firm on their refusal to accept the message of Haqq. And then Allah ta'ala says that we afflicted them with various forms of punishment, one after another. And here also the purpose is so that they may understand that all this is due to their acts of transgression and disobedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we afflicted them with conditions of drought, with conditions of floods, and with the conditions of locusts, which used to devour all the crops and plantations, and then the punishment of ticks and louses, which used to infest their stored grain and make them unworthy for consumption, and then the next form of punishment of frogs, that everywhere, the whole country, everywhere and their homes, everything was infested with frogs to such an extent that they could not live peacefully. And then the last type of punishment mentioned here is of blood, that all their edibles, food, etc. used to turn to blood before they could try and now consume it. All these things, Allah Ta'ala punished them with these conditions. And each time they were afflicted with this condition, a condition of difficulty and hardship, then they used to plead, come to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and plead to Musa alayhi salam that please make dua to your Rabb that he must alleviate us from this difficulty, and then we will bring Iman and we will then allow you to leave with the Bani Israel from Egypt. But each time they, when the punishment was removed, they went against their promise, and with the result, then they were afflicted with the next form of punishment. So all these forms of punishment didn't open their eyes, and they still remained on their forms of transgression and disobedience. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that eventually Allah ta'ala granted salvation to the Bani Israel, where one night Musa alayhi salam took secretly the Bani Israel out of Egypt. And the incident is also lengthy. They had to cross the sea, and Fir'aun and his army then tried to pursue them, and with the permission of Allah ta'ala, the sea split and the Bani Israel crossed safely over, but Fir'aun and his army were then drowned. Though that incident is mentioned elsewhere in the Quran and Majid. Anyway, here the incident is that when they got deliverance from the tyranny of Fir'aun by crossing over to towards their homeland of Sham, then there was a need that laws of Sharia and a constitution for the people of Bani Israel be sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam made dua to that effect. Allah ta'ala calls Musa alayhi salatu salam to the Mount Sinai, which is also called Mount Tur, and for a period of 40 days, Musa alayhi salatu salam was called there, where he received the Torah. During his absence, the Bani Israel, through the deceit of a particular person by the name of Samiri, a munafiq, a hypocrite who was amongst the Bani Israel, through his deceit and deception, he persuaded the people of the Bani Israel to regard a calf, which is the offspring of a cow, to be their god. The incident concerning this is also mentioned. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam on his return became very furious over what had transpired, since he had kept his brother Harun alayhi salatu wasalam as his deputy in his absence. He became angry with him, but whatever had happened had transpired, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam then the order concerning those who had worshipped the calf, it was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that how the wrath of Allah ta'ala then came upon them. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the verse in which the proof of the risalat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as mentioned in the Torah and the Injil is mentioned here, that الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنَّهُ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. That concerning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his description and being the final Nabi, all this has been recorded in the Torah and the Injil. The ulama explain that although the original Torah and Injil has been distorted and changed by those people in many ways, but even the present versions of the Torah and the Injil, although they are in a completely distorted and changed condition, but yet they contain such expressions and phrases which still refer to the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama have compiled kitabs, a kitab by the name of Izharul Haqq, where all those from the present day versions of the Torah and the Injil, phrases have been mentioned which refer to the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Concerning the finality and general, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being a Nabi to all people till the day of Qiyamah, that is also mentioned here, inni rasulullahi ilaykum jami'a. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues mentioning many other incidents of the Bani Israel and the great favors Allah ta'ala showered them with, and their display of ingratitude and how they transgressed the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are mentioned here. One particular incident mentioned here is that they were told to respect and honor the day of Saturday, the Sabbath, and they were not allowed to do any fishing on that day, but to test them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Saturday used to make evident great abundance of fish in the sea, to such an extent that the fish used to be noticed from the surface of the water, and they could not fish. But since the Bani Israel were such people who transgressed the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they devised ways to fish, but but not outwardly on the day of Saturday. So on Friday they used to cast their rods and nets into the water to entrap the fish which used to come on Saturday, and on Sunday then easily they used to take it out, and then they would say that no, we are not going against the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this way they made a mockery and played with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are the perpetrators of these of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his punishment came upon them, and their forms were transformed into the forms of monkeys and they were destroyed. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention that if anyone is afflicted with the instigation of shaitan, then immediately he should seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this should be our condition. Shaitan is an enemy, our open enemy. We don't have the strength to fight shaitan directly. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from this. And towards the end of the surah, then some etiquettes concerning the recitation of the Qur'an Majeed is mentioned, that when the Qur'an Majeed is recited, then listen attentively to it and be silent, so that you may show that mercy might come upon you. From this we understand that it is very necessary that we show respect to the Qur'an Majeed. Many a time we hear the Qur'an Majeed being recited over the radios and also over other systems. So we should make sure that when people are not there around for the intention of listening, then it should not be now played. Instead we see that people at that time are laughing, joking, eating, smoking and whatever else. And this is a great sign of disrespect to the Qur'an Majeed. Concerning making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some adab are also mentioned here. Allah ta'ala says, وَذُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفًا, that remember your Rabb in your heart with humility and with fear, وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ بِالْغُدُوِ وَالْعَصَالِ, and in a way which is not very loud. From this we understand to make dhikr in a loud voice is permitted, but it should not be so loud which resembles a form of shouting. Thus, adab has also been mentioned here. And that the surah terminates in the last quarter is a portion of Suratul Anfal. It is a Madani surah. And Anfal is a plural of Nafal. Nafal literally means extra. Here it refers to the booty and at the time of warfare, which is now, which we seize from the kuffar. So the spoils of war, which are called anfal, but the word itself indicates to the fact that this is not the objective of fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose of jihad is i'la'i kalimatullah, so that the word of Allah ta'ala reigns supreme for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The spoils of war are something which are extra, which is not the real objective of making jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this surah, being a Madani surah also, it was revealed just after the battle of Badr, and since the battle of Badr was the first battle in Islam, and all other battles followed thereafter, and the rules concerning the spoils of war were as yet not revealed. That's why there was a slight dispute amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum concerning the spoils of war from the Battle of Badr. Some said that only those who actively participated in the actual battle, they only are entitled to the spoils of war, and not the others who are also part of the army. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decisively mentions that al-anfalu lillahi wa rasul. They tell the people, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the spoils of war is for Allah and His Rasul. So the spoils of war from the Battle of Badr was left to the discretion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to distribute as he pleases. Later on, precise injunctions concerning the spoils of war were revealed, that how they must be distributed. They are mentioned in the beginning of the 10th para. But the spoils of war of the Battle of Badr was not bound to that law, because that was revealed later on. And here it was left to the discretion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he may give to whomsoever, in whatever amount he pleases, he can give. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some very sterling qualities of those who are the true mu'mineen. Five qualities have been mentioned. We should try and inculcate these qualities within us. One is, إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. That when the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited to them, when Allah ta'ala is mentioned, then their hearts tremble with fear. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ. And when the verses of Allah ta'ala are recited, their iman, in other words, the strength of the iman increases. Third quality, عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. They have firm tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth quality is الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. They establish salat, they perfect their salat, performing it with all its etiquettes. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And from that which Allah ta'ala has provided them, they spend. After that, Allah Ta'ala in great detail mentions the circumstances of the battle of Badr, which continues right into the 10th para also, and how against all odds, with the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah Ta'ala sent down angels to assist the mu'mineen, how they overcame the enemy, who were much larger in number and also in weaponry, but how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them their stunning victory over the kuffar. All the details are mentioned here. Allah Ta'ala also mentions concerning those people, the warnings against those people who turn their backs from the battlefield. And Allah Ta'ala says concerning them, فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. That they have returned with the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their abode is Jahannam. However, Allah Ta'ala makes two exceptions to this rule. وَمَنْ يُوَلِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ دُبُرَهُ إِلَّا مُتَحَرِّفًا لِقِتَالٍ أَوْ مُتَحَيِّزًا إِلَى فِئَةٍ. That in the battlefield, when facing the enemy, it is not permissible to flee and turn your backs away and go. But in these two instances, the first one, إِلَّا مُتَحَرِّفًا لِقِتَالٍ. If that moving away from the battlefield is a tactical maneuver to put the enemy into deception, that outwardly it seems that you are fleeing and you want them to pursue you, and the intention is to ambush them and afflict harm upon them, that will be permissible. And the other instance is أو متحيزاً إلى فئةٍ, where there is a retreat from the battlefield so that you can get reinforcements by joining up with another group of a mu'mini. So if the enemy are so strong where it is outwardly seems difficult to overcome them, then to retreat not with the intention of fleeing, but joining up with another group and to get reinforcements and then go back and fight them, that will not be included in this warnings of fleeing the battlefield. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues and makes mention of the importance of following, of being obedient to Allah and His Rasul in all regards. And then the benefits of taqwa are then mentioned, that in تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. That those who adopt this quality of taqwa and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, Allah ta'ala blesses them with the quality of furqan. Furqan means that criterion and that standard through which a person will then be able to differentiate between haqq and batil, between good and bad. This is that valuable quality which a person can attain through taqwa, that a person without any other means, just by taqwa, Allah Ta'ala grants him the standard and criterion through which he can differentiate between haqq and batil. And then, towards the end of the page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that fight against these disbelievers and the enemies of Islam till no anarchy and corruption remains on the surface of the earth. In other words, kufr etc. doesn't remain, and deen and religion remain solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they desist in doing this and they continue with their evils, Allah Ta'ala says, فَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَاكُمْ. Then know well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your mawla, is your helper, and Allah Ta'ala is the best of helpers and the best of companions who will come to you to your aid at the time of need.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من عجز منكم عن الليل أن يكابده وبخل بالمال أن ينفقه وجبن عن العدو أن يجاهده فليكثر ذكر الله رواه الطبراني. حضرت عبداللہ بن عباس رضی اللہ عنہ سے نقل کیا ہے, وہ فرماتے ہیں کہ حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا ارشاد ہے کہ جو تم میں سے عاجز ہو راتوں کو محنت کرنے سے اور بخل کی وجہ سے مال بھی خرچ نہ کیا جاتا ہو, یعنی نفلی صدقات, اور بزدلی کی وجہ سے جہاد میں بھی شرکت نہ کر سکتا ہو, اس کو چاہیے کہ اللہ کا ذکر کثرت سے کیا کرے. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, whoever amongst you is too weak to bear the strain of keeping awake at night in worship, is too miserly to spend his wealth in Allah's path, and is too cowardly to take part in jihad, is advised to practice the dhikr of Allah jalla jalaluhu in great abundance. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, whoever amongst you is too weak to bear the strain of keeping awake at night in worship, is too miserly to spend his wealth in Allah's path, and is too cowardly to take part in jihad, is advised to practice the dhikr of Allah jalla jalaluhu in great abundance.